Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, thanks for listening again. You know who I am. You know who he is. No introduction is necessary, right? the Growing in Grace podcast, 21 plus years of just talking about God's love and grace. And we've done a lot of talking over the years. And so we wanted to give you, the listener, an opportunity to talk, well, at least to write. And you did. So we've spent the last few weeks reading some of your comments. I think we've gotten to all of them. If we've missed any, we got a few left here. But if we've missed any, it's not been on purpose. And so we do thank you for taking part and for your comments. What I like about social media is just it can be overwhelming. In some ways, you know, you see a lot of arguments and things like that, but it can also be a place for people to find some good fellowship and conversation with each other for people who enjoy doing that. So I think that's one of the great things that has come about in our comments is the ability for people to talk with us and amongst themselves as well with things that they've been going through. And so religion has really played a number on people. I mean, it did a number on me, it did a number on you, Cap, and the people who are listening to this podcast. You've had your experiences, and not to remain negative about things, but really some of the things that grace has changed about us has really freed us up, and so that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks here. So a few more comments to get to, and we'll probably wrap this series up this week.
Yeah, it's been great. I appreciate the people who have shared with us their experiences and some of the changes that God brought to their life in such a good way after realizing that much of what they had been taught, maybe not all of it, but much of what they'd been taught or exposed to, either through church or whatever resources, that they had this change take place, that God was able by His Spirit to help them begin to see what the gospel really was, compared to what they heard it was. And it can be a pretty big difference. I mean, it can be a big jump to go from traditional church teaching from various denominations and common mindsets that are out there throughout many so-called Bible-believing churches. that's always a phrase that kind of cracks me up these days.
Yeah.
Do you go to a Bible-believing church? And so it's been nice for us to look at some of this and remind ourselves of where we've also come from, because we can relate to much of what has been submitted, and then to just kind of talk some of it out. So I hope it's been good for you too. And by the way, next week, I think it would be a good time to do it next week, Joel. We received a lengthy letter, and from time to time we've read comments from people who thanked us for doing the podcast, and then they would kind of share with what God has been doing in their life as it relates to the gospel, or maybe some things that we've said that have helped them. We've read some of those comments throughout the years, but we got a long letter from somebody who's a new listener, and in conjunction with what we've been doing here in recent weeks, I think we're going to take a podcast to go through his letter, and because I felt like I could have almost written that.
Yeah.
And my heart went out to him. So I just sort of felt like, I know a lot of times, especially you, will reply to a lot of those. And sometimes your replies are pretty lengthy when you have the time. And I've done a few myself. But I think that just taking a look at this, I think our listeners will really appreciate just where this person is coming from and how excited they are to move further into the goodness of God and the grace that came through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like I was saying, religion has done a number on people. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And if you can find a body of believers that are free, You found a good thing. You found a rare thing, it seems, and it's sad to say that. Now, that's again, not that's not to say that everything, like you were saying, not everything that we were taught in the past, not everything that goes on in the church today is bad. We have said for years that here on this podcast, our attempt is not to bash the church. It's made up of people who have all kinds of different thoughts and ideas about things. And we're never in this life going to all agree on everything and come to the same conclusions on everything. That's fine. Our hope is just that people will be free because we're meant to be free in Christ. And so some of the things that has happened because of our legalistic pasts, things that we've been taught or things that we just came to believe one way or another, they've crippled us, they've put us into bondage, and then grace has come along and we've been made free by that. And it's a growing process, you know, growing in grace. I know some people still struggle with some of the old religious things and legalistic things. And, you know, it's okay if you know, we don't really arrive yet in this life. But we can help each other to be free and to rest in Christ and all that stuff. And so that's been one of the purposes of this podcast, and also one of the purposes for, you know, asking you to share the various things that you've been through and that you've unlearned and that you've been able to relearn, you know, the truth in. And speaking of unlearning, this next comment from Spotify, there are so many things that I had to unlearn. The biggest for me was having to confess my sins. So we've talked a lot about this. The biggest thing for me was having to confess all my sins every day in order to be forgiven and fellowship with God. I was also made to be afraid of taking communion unless I had remembered everything I had done wrong and confessed it, or I could be sick or die. I'm so glad that it's all about Him and His goodness, not mine. Thank you guys for continuing to share His goodness and grace. Without getting into the actual passage, because there is a passage of Scripture that is the source of a lot of this pain and confusion and fear, where Paul talks about the Lord's Supper. Go to the Growing in Grace website, growingingrace.org, and search for the word communion or Lord's Supper. And we've done full podcasts on this. And just the communion thing, the Lord's Supper thing, in that passage, Paul Paul talks about examining yourselves and all these things. The gist of what was going on there, Paul was not telling people to remember all of their sins and to confess all of their sins before they could take eat of the body and drink of the blood. You know, eat the bread and drink the wine. What was going on there in just a real short thing here? It was real wine. People were actually coming in to the where they were having their fellowship, drinking all of the wine, getting drunk, and then they were eating all the food, leaving other people hungry. So this was a meal, you know, it's a meal situation. Other people would come in, there'd be no food and drink left. And so these people were being very selfish. Paul even tells them, don't you have homes that you can drink in? Don't you have homes that you can eat in? You know, so he was basically scolding them for participating in this Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, because that's what they were doing. It wasn't about them having sin in their lives. So, you know, and they couldn't partake unless they had gotten rid of all the sin in their lives or confessed all their sins. They were just partaking in an unworthy manner. And that would lead some people, if you drank too much and ate too much, it could lead people to die. God wasn't killing them because of partaking in something in an unworthy manner. It was a natural result of what they were doing. So, again, we've done podcasts on that. And then I think you have more to say about the communion thing, like our communion with God. So I'll pass it back over to you, Cap.
Well, yeah. You know, sometimes people say that sin can harm your fellowship with God or even separate you. But that's just made up stuff. That's fake news. Mm-hmm. It's just not real. While you were talking there, I just really quick pulled up, and I have no idea what I'm about to say here, but I just pulled up from my book, Clash of the Covenants, Let's see. Some ministers in the land of the legal will argue that ongoing sin and a lack of sin confession will cause a type of relationship separation, and they will insist specific sins that are not confessed will hinder your fellowship with God. I used to think that way too. I was wrong. Fellowship with God is cloaked in our union with Christ, regardless of how our failures may make us feel, which might be bad at first. It doesn't change God's perspective of us. 1 Corinthians, God says, or God, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful even when we are not. He called you into fellowship. He isn't going to recall his callings. He isn't going to change his mind and turn his back on you. And so this fellowship with God, it's an ongoing thing. The blood of Jesus took care of anything that would get in the way of that.
Right. Yeah. It's all the blood. The blood of Jesus. And that's what this Lord's Supper was. You know, Paul starts out by quoting the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, This is my body which is broken for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. The blood. He says, when you do this, remember me. He didn't say remember your sins. What Jesus did, he with his broken body, he took the stripes and he bled and he died for us. We're to remember that because that is how we received forgiveness for our sins. It wasn't meant to be a remembrance of sins. Remembering Jesus is meant to remember what he did for us, the fact that we died and rose together with him. So people, when they make communion about remembering your sins, they're doing exactly the opposite of what Jesus wanted it to be. When we get together and eat and drink, when we get together to remember him, it's about that. It's not about our sins and the horrible things that we've done. If it were about that, then who could stand? Who could really take communion? We've all, in our actions and our behavior, we all fall short. There's nobody who lives perfectly in their behavior. There's nobody who would ever be able to stand before God on their own. And so it's about what Jesus Christ did for us, not what we've done for him, or not about us remembering all of our sins.
Yeah, it was the law and everything within the law, including the sacrifices, that brought a reminder of sins. Our communion, our interaction, our fellowship with God is not supposed to be that. Coming from a God who says he will remember our sins no more,
right?
Thanks to Jesus. So,
yes.
Yeah, there's dots out there. We just got to connect them correctly. Someone else wrote, Joel, and said something that religion still goes on about are bloodline curses. They say that grace knows that the blood of Jesus rids a believer of all curses. That's a good one. Yeah, I used to hear that too. And boy, again, it's just kind of getting the two covenants tangled up. Do you remember I think it was back in the 70s, Joel, there was a group called Steeler's Wheel, and they had a song called Stuck in the Middle
with
You.
Stuck in the Middle, huh?
I think that's the theme for most of the church. They're stuck between an old covenant
right.
That's now obsolete and a new covenant that's eternal, and they're trying to reconcile the two, and they ought to just jump into the new, stay there.
And a lot of this comes from the idea, generational curse. And God will visit the sins of the fathers upon his children to the third and fourth generation and all that stuff. And that, of course, was the law. That was under the old covenant. And the curse, Paul tells us that Jesus became the curse. Mm. There is no more curse. Mm-hmm. Jesus became the curse. He redeemed those who were under the curse. By his blood, Jesus redeemed them. He became the curse by hanging on a tree, by hanging on the cross. There is no more curse. So whether it's bloodline curses, generational curses, there is no more curse. In Christ, we've been made right. There is no more curse. So like this person says, grace knows that the blood of Jesus rids a believer of all curses. The curse is gone. There is nothing. There's nobody out there who's walking in a curse because Jesus became the curse and took care of all of that.
Right. Otherwise, you might as well just be like the wicked witch from The Wizard of Oz and say, curses!
Curses me! Well, let's see here. I think we got one. So that was Spotify. An email. We got one via email. This verse that came to mind first, the verse that came to mind was 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Anyway, what I've seen the church do with that verse, again, we've talked about verses. You take verses out of context. They've made it into many things, but one of the things that they do is they use it to put a guilt trip on believers for leaving their church, for leaving their fellowship, for this or that. They went out from among us, but they were not of us. As if to say, our church is the place where you have to be, and if someone's leaving, well, they weren't of us anyway. It put a guilt trip on people for not going to church or for not being a part of their church or whatever. There was one time many years ago, I had a friend who, we have a church here in Waterloo, and then there's also one 20 miles away or so in another town that I had formerly lived in, and a friend of mine had decided he was going to leave that church, stop going there, and somebody told him, "This, you're going to be in pretty sad shape because this is the only church that there is. I mean, you go out of our covering," you know, basically putting him on a guilt trip and saying that their church was the only place that had it right. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that was just sad.
Yeah, they take it personal.
Yeah, they really do. And whether it's because they really believe that it's there, you know, that they have the only truth, they have all the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and others don't, or whether they, you know, just have to make up something because people are leaving their church. It's just sad what religion does with that type of thing. When in Christ we're free, it's great if you find fellowship with other believers who can build you up in love and in good deeds, you know, as the book of Hebrews says, and that's great, and it's wonderful. It's not a commandment. You're not a non-believer if you don't, quote, go to church. you're free in Christ, and you need to see yourself as that way, because your fellowship with Christ is based not upon being in a building or with other people, but based on Him. You're in Him, as we've talked about, and He is in you.
Yeah, because they said, our listeners said, that this verse was something they heard every time someone decided to stop coming to their church,
right,
their church building. And I think the point here is kind of what we've been talking about even in the last couple of weeks or so, is that you can take a verse and honestly, you can pretty much almost make it out to say anything you want it to say. I mean, obviously what John was talking about here wasn't about people coming and going from church buildings.
Right.
They went out from among us. So it's easy to do. Our understanding of the Bible pages is not perfect, but it's just real easy for people to get in certain mindsets, either doctrinal ones or just their views on what the Bible is or isn't, and then they're confined within those walls, and they'll interpret things through that mindset. And so it's just one of those things where it comes back to, we really need to begin to depend more on the Spirit of God, because God hasn't stopped speaking.
Right.
You know, God's word isn't just some historical text. As we talked about recently, Joel, and you brought it up, we have a new and living way that is much better than the deathly ministry of ink or stone tablets.
Right. And that's, if we could leave you with anything, you know, thank you to everybody who has commented and taken part in this series. We didn't know how long it would go, how many comments we would get, but it's been fun and awesome to talk about this. And just remember that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and He is in you, and you are in Him. Like you were saying, Cap, He has not stopped talking. He's not stopped speaking. He's very active in the world. He's very active in you, and you can bank on that. And you can trust Him, and you can just know that He is always there never leaves you, never forsakes you, and is always your wisdom, your guidance, and everything that you need. So thanks again for taking part in this. Like you were saying, we'll next week share some words from a listener that we received via an email with some very important stuff to talk about there.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.